Grace and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love our last hymn, "Lord, keep us steadfast in your word." It may be one of my favorite hymns. It's one I use almost every time that I lead chapel over at St. John, in part because it's called or known as Luther's Children's Hymn. It's a great hymn to memorize. If you look a little more closely at the text, it is a prayer addressing each person of the Trinity, invoking their protection and strengthening of our faith. Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Curb those who by deceit or sword would wrest the kingdom from your Son and bring to naught all he has done. It's a good reminder for us that there is opposition to the message of the gospel. And that is where we get into our gospel reading for today from Luke chapter 12. Jesus says, "I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled." Jesus really doesn't sound like Jesus in this reading, does he? We're used to verses like John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Or else 1 John 4:8, "God is love." Instead, Jesus kicks it off with fire and brimstone. "I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled." That is not exactly what we expect from a loving God who has revealed himself in Jesus Christ as the expression of how great the love of God is for his fallen creation. We expect Jesus to bring us peace and comfort and healing. We expect Jesus to love us, to forgive our sins. After all, when the woman was caught in adultery and brought to Jesus, Jesus turned and essentially rebuked her accusers and brought her peace by refusing to condemn her. When the sinful woman came and bathed Jesus' feet with her perfume and tears, he pronounced peace to her and forgiveness. We expect Jesus to heal us, to heal our hurts, to rectify our wrongs, as the demon-possessed man who had his demons cast out and was brought peace. The woman with the long flow of blood who is healed by simply touching the hem of Jesus' robe, her faith healed her, and Jesus says, "Go in peace." We expect Jesus to create that peace which passes understanding among us. Jesus brought the disciples together. He gave them one mind, one heart with each other, unity together in him, which they pass on to us. We expect that having the love of Jesus in our hearts will improve all of our relationships. In talking about marriage, we commonly talk about Jesus being the center of the marriage relationship, the one who brings husband and wife together, who perfects their love by his love, and who gives them his peace. You've seen the signs around, "No Christ, no peace." No Christ, no peace. And as true as that is in many ways, it doesn't sound that way in this reading. Frankly, it sounds like Jesus is telling us that if we know him, we will not have peace. If we believe in him, that our relationships, far from being improved, can actually suffer for his sake. What's up with that? The fact is that being a Christian in a world which opposes Christ is not a recipe for peace and comfort. our allegiance and devotion to Christ is greater than any allegiance or devotion in this world. Our other loyalties can be God-pleasing, but only up to a certain point. Those cease to be God-pleasing when they come into conflict with our loyalty and devotion to God himself. Following the royals, or more likely, let's be honest this year, the Chiefs, is not a bad thing until fandom for the sport overtakes faith in the Savior. If you are willing to go to the games, but you're not willing to go to church, that is where the conflict comes in. Service of and loyalty to country are both encouraged by both Paul and Peter until your country asks you to do something that God forbids, or your country does something to contradict the clear teaching of Scripture. Did those German Lutherans love their nation during World War II? Yes, absolutely. But they could not obey Hitler, and many suffered imprisonment, martyrdom, death for their resistance to the Nazis. Did Peter and Paul honor and obey Nero? Yes, but they refused to worship him and were both executed at his command. The loyalty and allegiance to country is second to loyalty and devotion to God. When these mixed loyalties come into conflict, that is when Christ brings division between people. are we called to love one another, to show love to our friends and neighbors and relatives? Yes. Does that immediately translate into them showing us the same? No. Does it even mean that what God considers love will be taken as such by them? Also, no, not necessarily. When we put Christ and faithfulness to him above all other concerns, those who do not understand or recognize that loyalty may not feel the same way towards us or about our trust and loyalty to God. So, can you love your friend or neighbor or child who experiences same-sex attraction? Yes. In fact, we are even commanded to show love to them. Loving them as a Christian, however, looks far different from what they think that loving them should mean. Many of those in that situation think that loving them should mean applauding their lifestyle. But that's not what it is. For a Christian to show love to someone in that situation means to care enough to warn them that sin is sin and God forgives repentant sinners, and to do it in a compassionate manner. That is love in that situation, but it is not necessarily taken as such. It's never an easy thing for us to do. It's difficult for us to put God's word above all earthly concerns. Lord Jesus Christ, your power make known, for you are Lord of lords alone. Defend your holy church that we may sing your praise eternally. Remaining faithful to our Lord of Lords and to his word is how we experience that peace which Christ brings. The peace of Christ is not like the peace that we imagine in this world. We imagine peace as everyone getting along, or as a live and let live attitude towards other people. Sometimes we imagine peace as everyone agrees with me. none of these things are really the peace that Christ brings to us. The peace that Christ brings to us, in fact, finds its model in Christ and in his life. Jesus did not have an easy road, or for that matter, an easy life, but he had peace in God. Jesus' peace came from submitting to and doing his Father's will from his birth up through his death. Every moment in his life, he follows his Father's will. In fact, he had peace in the midst of deprivation and opposition because he knew that it was his Father's will, his pure and perfect will, for the salvation of you. Jesus even had peace when he faced the cross because he knew it was his Father's plan for your salvation, that Jesus would die. We might say that the peace which Jesus had was born out of trust in God. And so how do we experience this? We experience the peace of Christ in worshiping him, in obeying him, in trusting him above all things. We may experience opposition in this world, but Christ gives us the peace of knowing that he is on our side. For all John reminds us, you are from God and have overcome the spirits of the world, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. This world isn't always going to be easy for us, but Christ is greater than the world, and Jesus is on your side. Faithfully following Christ is never going to be an easy road for us. We pray that God will keep us steadfast in our faith, that he will preserve us in the face of temptations, that he will set our eyes on Jesus who ran the race before us, who couldn't be stopped from completing the task that God set before him. Jesus rushed headlong into the fire, was baptized with the baptism of death that gives us life. Jesus died for us. We live for him. When the world opposes us, Jesus stands with us and sends us the Comforter who strengthens us against the struggles and temptations of this world. And he brings us into the fellowship of his body, the church, in which we stand together, united by our crucified and resurrected Savior. Let us pray. O Comforter of priceless worth, grant peace and unity on earth. Support us in our final strife, and lead us out of death to life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep and guard our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.